Hey guys, just wanted to let you know that this episode has a little bit of naughty language in it, and you should probably only listen to it if you're over 18. And it doesn't get too spicy, but just to give you guys a heads up. So thanks for listening.
Remember, kids, ask your parents first if you can listen to this podcast.
Yeah, I'll totally smash your eggs. Bam, bam!
Carrie, why don't you take us into the podcast? Go ahead and start the show.
Oh, okay. Well, should I just introduce myself and like what I do?
Yes.
Okay, awesome. Well, my name is Carrie Huang. I suppose the main thing I do these days is make this animated cartoon called Battle for Dream Island. I started it with my twin brother, Michael, when we were 12 years old. And the show's been going on for like 13 years, and it's got a pretty... I'm really grateful because it's got quite a few fans and they make their own object shows, which are sort of based off of the original BFDI. And on top of that, I also studied computer science in college. So I have also made some videos talking about how artificial intelligence works on my other YouTube channels. And I guess those are the two main things that I've done. And yeah, so that is me, Carrie Huang, in a nutshell.
Welcome to the first podcast with Carrie Huang. Thanks for coming on to the show, my guy.
Well, thanks for having me. I know.
Yeah, TJ, you want to kind of give the backstory here, because this has been an episode that's been about 18 years in the making at this point.
Oh yeah. So
wait, Carrie's legal?
Yes, Carrie is legal.
18 years. So like, well, you reached out when I was born. No, I'm not 18. I'm 21.
We reached out while Carrie was still in his dad's balls.
Oh my gosh.
All right, go ahead,
okay,
TJ.
Okay.
I don't know how that conversation went.
Let me breathe. Okay. Okay. So basically, I originally invited Carrie about 2 years ago, I think 2021. And it was during a time where we had two different co-hosts, but due to various circumstances.
Due to.
Really, okay. Lars? How old are you?
Come on, Lars. Okay. Okay.
So oh, there's the obligatory poop reference for the episode.
Sorry, go ahead. Go
please,
go ahead.
Please. Okay, right. Okay. The podcast went on hiatus for about 2 years, and we only just recently rebooted the show. So, yeah, I'm sorry, Carrie, that we had to make you wait 2 years for you to come on, because it was right when the podcast kind of fell apart.
So. Oh, don't worry about it. I mean, I feel like I'm the master of hiatuses as well. I've made many of my fans wait for even longer than 2 years. So I feel like, you know, we can all... I don't know, combine in solidarity that we go on hiatuses a lot.
Well, that's happened in the past 2 years.
It really has. It was a depressing couple years. It feels like things are vaguely on the upswing at this point. Mm-hmm. Kinda? Sorta? Maybe not?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, because that was kind of when I first started watching various YouTube channels that were sort of in like the computer science AI realm, and then over the past 2 years there's been so many advancements in that where it's like a lot of those videos I initially saw are a bit out of date now.
Yeah, that's true. Like just how much like what AI has changed in the last 12 months.
Oh yeah.
Yeah,
everything I studied is, well, not everything, but a lot of what I studied is now outdated, so maybe it's time for me to go back to school and get refreshed.
Yeah, you went to a...
I think a lot of it has been... Oh, sorry. Has been iterative at this point, though. It adds to the... Like, if you look into something like Stable Diffusion, it's the technology has just improved. And if you got into it several months ago, obviously it's cut leaps and bounds since then, but it's still kind of the same basic idea. So it's like getting on the ground floor is probably smart.
Yeah, I do think there are like fundamentals that are just like always going to be true. like, I don't know, gradient descent, or the, I guess the fact that having a bigger data set is always going to result in like better performing AI. But I think like the new models are all like diffusion based, which wasn't even a thing when I first got, when I was first taking AI classes in like 2016.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible. I don't know if you guys have seen this. I'm going to go look it up in a second. I'll probably post this in the video, but like looking at the first like AI generated cow, it's like, well, it kind of looks vaguely like a cow, I guess. So success. But now it's like you can, it's changed quite a lot since then.
Yeah. Well, I mean, especially like image generation as a whole, I think was like one of the last tasks. It was like incredibly difficult. Like, I think image classification like came along much earlier, like 2012, but like in terms of generating images, it wasn't until like maybe 2018 or 19 that like that got good. So it's very recent that AI can just create images based on the prompt.
Yeah. I went ahead and I'm going to post this in the, you're right, Tristan?
Yeah, I'm sorry. My allergies are acting up a little bit.
No worries. By the way, I'm going to post this in the chat at discord.t1podcast.com if you want to tune into these episodes live and ask the guests some questions, but I'll also post this in the video cut down version of it, so don't worry. This is a picture of a cow that was generated in 2014. I'm going to say it's a cow because it's not that clear. So this is what it looked like almost 10 years ago.
It looks like the Loch Ness cow, like, the picture couldn't decide
like a weird cryptid.
Like a Kingdom Hearts like concept art. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, guys, Bigfoot cow sighting.
Oh,
grab
your
best quality camera.
Speaking of Kingdom Hearts, Carrie, your AI computer science channel, Carrie KH, you have a long running joke about what the KH stands for, and I wanted to suggest maybe possibly making a new channel where you're Carrie Kingdom Hearts. Where you just exclusively Kingdom Hearts content.
Oh my god. I mean, I could. I was going to say that, like, there's a lot of everything that, like...
Uh-oh, I think we lost him.
Hello?
Wait, can you still hear
Gary?
Me?
Gary!
Wait, can you not hear me? Hello? Test?
Oh, now we can.
What happened?
Wait. Yeah, you just got bored.
Oh, that's weird, because, like...
Gary.
Oh, man. Okay, I was, like, telling a funny story, and now I gotta start over.
Oh,
but anyway, okay. I was just gonna say that, like, everything, like when I'm like living in my normal life and I see any object or person that's like initialed KH, I think to myself like, oh, that could have been a KH joke in a video.
Yep.
And I probably won't use most of them. So like Kingdom Hearts is one, but another one is like Kamala Harris or
Kate Hudson.
Yeah, Kate Hudson. Or like there's this TikToker like Kirsten Hanscher, and I'm like,
a couple I came up with was kilohertz. Do like a frequency sound joke?
No, I got the perfect one.
Keyhole.
Oh, well, I've actually already used keyhole. Like, I don't expect you to know every single one I've used, but I think in the video about like Mickey Mouse and how he lied to his audience. This is all a joke, by the way. But like,
well, yeah.
I said, I replaced my eyes with keyholes, and I was like, I'm Carrie Keyhole. But I will say, I think that the KH joke has been like beaten into the ground after like 6 years. Like, I feel like I've done everything I could with that joke, and now it's time for me to grow up and announce that I am Carrie Kaiming Huang.
Noodle Boy in the recording stage chat put Kid Hater. So that'd be
Kid Hater.
Kid Hater.
Karma Hits,
Hater.
Karen Hurts.
Kid Hater.
Keeping Hats.
I have one question for you, Carrie.
Okay.
Just one?
Oh, yeah. Answer one question.
Okay.
Yeah, just one. Make it good.
Have you done Carrie Kisses the Homies? Like Carrie Kisses Homies.
Oh, there you go.
I have done. No, I don't think I've ever used kisses as the K word because I was like, I didn't want to be like shipped with anyone. Like, I could do Carrie Kisses himself. Oh. You know, that's fine.
Ooh, self-cessed.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
But like, I definitely. Wait, I've done like Carrie kills people, but not kisses people. So I guess I'm more about like violence than love. That's
Carrie,
too bad.
Carrie,
oh, we live in
I
a
mean,
society.
Carrie,
I think it
kicks
if
hamburgers.
If you're gonna do, yeah, I don't know. Like, I think it's probably better to do Carrie kill than Carrie kiss. Like, it's probably like that's probably better optics.
Yeah, we're gonna
at
do
that point,
kill
so.
And kisses himself. We're not gonna mix the two. We're not gonna like piss his and kills himself.
Oh no, don't do that.
Wait, what's wrong with kissing?
Well,
here's my theory.
Either he's still alive or he's dead. Either way, I shouldn't kiss him.
How's that mustache gonna feel on your face?
Probably not great.
Probably not great.
Probably weird.
I don't have a mustache myself, so it'd be like the hair will be directly on my skin. So it's like, if I had a mustache myself, it would like protect from the mustache. But it'll just be right on my skin, and I do not want that.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm.
You don't have to justify not wanting to kiss him, by the way. Like, it's just like inherently like understandable.
Hold on, we're getting into the real hard-hitting topics here. I mean, what's wrong with kissing? And Carrie provided some good feedback. Like, this is a good podcast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
And here's you know what? Never mind. We don't have to get into this. Let's just talk about Carrie's channel.
Now I can say this since it pertains to the show.
Uh-oh. What if, someone might click on the link to join this podcast right when you just said, like, five times, and they're like, I don't know if I want to be here.
Yeah.
Help me, I'm scared.
Yeah, they'll be like, Mom, pick me up, I'm scared. That's what they'll be like.
I'm scared of German leaders.
Well, I mean, that's a healthy fear at this point, I think. That's like a historically understandable fear to have.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, okay, we can move on from and all that. Like, I feel kind of nervous every time saying his name. I don't know.
Let's talk about Stalin next.
Let's talk about Tristan?
Dictators.
No more world leaders. No more dictators for the rest of the episode.
Shit, let's next topic was Kim Jong-un.
No, let's not worry about that.
Okay, never mind.
So,
I hope I won't.
Harry, I got a question for you.
Oh yeah,
and I wouldn't worry too much about the effects of this because. This is like not a very popular podcast, so it's not really going to go very far. But just to kind of give the audience a little tease here, you happen to have a podcast of your own.
Oh, right. Yeah. Well, I guess if people are curious, I have this podcast that I do with my speed cubing friends, and it is called Over Inspected. And the gist of it is like we're just all into solving Rubik's Cubes as fast as possible. And we felt like there wasn't really a place for us to kind of like nerd out about like, you know, the world championships for cubing and like, you know, for us to just say all our thoughts about how the cubing world is changing. So we started that podcast last year. And I think since then we've done like 40 episodes. And I feel like to me, I'm just proud that we got to 40 because I heard that most podcasts don't even make it to like 10 episodes.
Yeah.
But it's like it's been really fun just because. I kind of have an excuse to hang out with my friends Manu and Chai like once a week. And, you know, even if it's not for like internet clout, it's more just like, you know, good to keep in touch with them.
Oh, I respect the hustle for that considerably more when it comes to Tristan, have you died?
I told you, sorry, it's my allergies.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it.
Nope. Oh no, it's funny. I'm not upset. I'm sorry. I think it's amusing. No.
If I don't make it through the end of the podcast, TJ, ask my questions for me.
Fair enough.
I don't know what all of your questions are.
Cool. It's kind of cool, by the way, that you're in, first of all, that you're in a position where you can do stuff like that, where it's like, I don't really have to worry about internet clout. I'm just going to go start a speed giving podcast with my homies. Like, that's like a sign that you kind of made it, I think, to be able to get away with that.
I mean, I feel like the speed cubing world in general isn't that big. Like, I think most people who are really into speed cubing, like if you get into cubing for the sake of getting famous, you're probably going to fail because I think only like the top 10 cubers can actually make a living off of it. So like 99.9% of cubers are doing it just because it's a interesting hobby.
Mm-hmm.
So like even if you haven't like quote unquote made it, you know, you can still just cube because. Like, I don't know, you're kind of obsessed for whatever reason. Like, there's some itch in your brain that makes you do it. Like, you have an obsession.
Oh, well, I know the best way to take care of an itch in your brain. You take a butter knife, you stick it up your nose.
Oh, no. Monetization. No.
That's it.
Hold on, we're not talking about mummification in ancient Egypt. Okay.
Sorry, I got a little carried away here.
Well, Spaghetti, I figure you said butter knife. Because it's not as sharp as, like, steak knife.
Yeah, so, I wanted to be
safe. Hey, kids, how are you supposed to do DIY lobotomies?
Uh-oh.
Yeah, well...
No.
Well, Tristan...
No,
Tristan's vegan, so he doesn't really know terms like butter knife and steak knife. Those are foreign to him entirely. So
fuck off.
No, but okay. So Carrie, the obvious question.
Mm-hmm.
When you say that you have a speed cubing podcast, the obvious question,
yes,
is what's your record?
Oh, what's my record? Mm-hmm. Actually, okay. So my record was on a very lucky scramble. So don't expect me to pull this time out every time, but my PB is 6.2 seconds.
Ooh.
Okay.
Yeah, but
is that just a normal like run through, or is this like blindfolded or something fancy like that?
Oh, it's just a normal run through.
Yeah, okay. He's doing it blindfolded with his ass cheeks, TJ. That's already impressive.
TJ, be nice to the guest.
Oh. No, I'm just saying,
hands. No other body parts.
Also, someone in chat told us not to swear.
Oh. Yeah, guys, no more fucking swearing on the episode,
silence,
please.
Child.
Wait, is there going to be swearing? Because, like, I have sworn in videos, but I think that, like, for the most part, I try not to because, like, people, like, really freak out if they hear me say anything worse than, like, damn. Mm. Like, that's probably the limit of what I'll do today.
Oh, we didn't even ask you. Are you okay with swearing on the podcast?
Well, I'm okay with it. Like, you know, I've heard everything because I'm an adult, but I
yeah.
I don't know if there's people in the audience who like are listening to me who are like younger, you know, I guess.
Well,
we just have got to be appropriate for all ages.
Let's put it this way. Carrie, we're going to swear because it's a very sweary podcast, but you do not have to participate. You can maintain whatever image you prefer.
Wait, hold on, Carrie. Okay. I have a question.
Yeah, what is your question?
Just for shock value, can you say fuck once?
Oh, I don't know. I mean,
if you're comfortable.
I have in a video, so I guess I'll do it again.
What the fuck?
No, I can't. I mean, okay, I already kind of did there, so. But I didn't say the k at the end, so I think we're okay, right?
Okay, yeah, it's perfect. It's like Spider-Man. He just says, what the fuck?
If you do it enough times, it loses its shock value. It's like, it's only if you only say that one fuck every once in a while. That's what, it's like that.
Yeah, oh shit, Carrie said the fuck word. Everyone blow up.
Well, I mean, the thing is like, in the real world, like if I'm not on a podcast or on the internet, like I think I still don't swear that much, but like I can. But I think like when I see there's people in the audience who like, I don't know, like maybe are clipping this and then they're going to upload it and they're going to say Carrie swears and then it goes viral or something. It changes the kind of vibe. And I want to make sure that I don't do something I'll later regret.
You know what? I can respect that.
Totally fair.
I mean, you don't want to be known as Sweary Carrie.
I know. Well, people already call me Scary Carrie.
I guess, audience, this is Carrie's endorsement that he's requesting people to make YouTube poops of him saying the naughty words.
Oh, no. 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 Oh, no. Oh, no.
Nah.
Okay.
Well,
I know YouTube poops guys, are, like... be nice to Carrie.
Yeah.
Be nice to Carrie.
YouTube poops are a genre that are still going strong, like 15 years later.
Oh, they are. Yeah.
YouTube poops have really. It's one of those things that they've never been like mainstream popular, but they've really survived the test of time. Like I remember when I was a very young little boy and they were popping up during the MySpace era.
The
first YouTube poops.
Well, I think as early as like video editing was a thing. There were.
Right.
Wait, can I tell the first time the story of my first YouTube poop that I saw?
Sure thing.
You saw a YouTube video and then you had to take a poop?
Okay. So, I have an actual story. My family had a computer set up in the kitchen. It was the family computer and there was gigantic speakers on it because we would play music and cartoons and stuff on it. Me and my siblings were in the kitchen with my parents and they were cooking and we were like, let's watch SpongeBob because, you know, when you're 6 years old, SpongeBob fucking slaps. And this is 2006 for reference. And we're looking it up on YouTube because, you know, there's a lot of pirated shit on YouTube because there was like no filters back then.
Right.
But case in point on the no filters back then, because I turned on a SpongeBob video and it's the episode where he is like getting embarrassed by his grandma because she keeps kissing him.
Mm.
And
I remember that episode.
Yeah, he like gets the episode's fairly normal to like the midway point where when he's getting made fun of, like, it's, like, awful ear of him screaming every slur in the book and the N-word repeatedly. and my mom was just in the kitchen cooking, and she freaked the fuck out, and she said, "No more SpongeBob ever on the computer."
Oh no! So your mom thought that like that was what normal SpongeBob is, like unedited.
Oh god!
So that's the first time I heard the N-word. Thanks, SpongeBob.
Yeah, that is not
pleasant. That's a little bit sinister with the bait and switch, where you just trick kids into watching SpongeBob, and then it just devolves into like really traumatizing content.
Yeah, that's why it was.
I feel like to this day, YouTube, like the fact that kids are kind of navigating YouTube unsupervised, it's like you could upload something and just say like, "Oh, this is Bluey, a Bluey episode official," and then just edit it to be like really horrifying, and like, you know, kids are gonna fall for it.
Well,
years
ago, there was like an animator that made like this YouTube video called Smile HD, and it looked exactly like My Little Pony. But then, like, You saw that? Yeah, that traumatized me when I saw it, because like it devolves into extreme violence where it's very graphic.
Oh, yeah, that's me when I was a kid with Happy Tree Friends.
Yeah,
I thought it was just a chill kids cartoon. And 8 years old, I saw a tree animal take off all of their skin with a potato peeler, and it was fucking traumatizing.
Oh, I never liked Happy Tree Friends because it was really fucked up.
Yeah, if anyone's watching and is like has not heard of Happy Tree Friends, like do not search it unless you're like really okay with like, I don't know.
You know what? No, just don't watch it. Just don't watch it. It's awful. It's really awful.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if people are adults, they can watch whatever they want. But yeah, kids, if you're watching this, just, you know, maybe it's a good thing that things like YouTube Kids exist now. I know that YouTube has its issues when it comes to like
there's some weird,
you know, being a little overzealous and everything.
There's weird stuff that sneaks into YouTube Kids though.
But yeah. What I'm saying is like I think it's there's like an upside to like cracking down a little bit on this kind of stuff, man. Like
people are sneaking either like traumatizing or like weirdly sexual content into YouTube Kids.
Well, I do think
it's kind of funny though that like I enjoy it when I come across a random video that seems to have kind of snuck past the radar a little bit. Like Kerry, I don't know if you're familiar with a channel called Video Game Donkey.
Oh yeah, I've heard of Donkey.
I love Video Game Donkey Kong.
Yeah.
Uh-oh, I think Kerry just borked again.
Oh what?
Uh-oh.
Test. Hello.
Why does Kerry keep borking? Is he a dog?
Wait, what does it mean when I bore?
Carrie, we can't hear you right now.
Oh, darn.
No, don't post GIFs of Happy Tree Friends in the chat.
Yeah, that.
No, I don't want to see that shit. Wait,
can you guys hear me?
All right, thanks guys, by the way, at discord.t1podcast.com for making me turn on slow mode.
Hello.
Because you guys are just kind of having a lot of fun right now, which is great. But I'm going to bump it up to 30 seconds so that you guys can...
Yeah, you're just kind of. You guys are posting a lot of memes.
Hold up. I'm talking, but I don't know if you can hear me.
There we go. You're back.
Harry, you got borked again.
Yeah, you got cut out. Couldn't hear you for a bit.
I can hear you the whole way through, and like from my perspective, it seems like nothing's wrong. I don't know why that happens. Let's just continue.
I promise we're not gaslighting
you. I'm sorry about that, Harry. I'm gonna go ahead and I'll give you a signal here.
Oh shit!
If it seems like we can't hear you, if it seems like we can't hear you, I'll go ahead and say dragon fruit. That's a sign that something has gone wrong.
Okay. Well, in that case, we can't have a conversation about dragon fruits because then like you'll want to say the word, but it'll send a mixed message to me.
Just refer to them as DFs if you really want to talk about DFs.
Wait, as a white guy, can I say the DF word or is that not allowed?
Dragon fruit.
Dilf.
Wait, you can't hear me anymore?
We can hear you.
Now I can tell my deepest secrets.
I hate TJ.
No one will hear me.
Don't gaslight him.
All right, Kerry. The last thing that I said to you was, have you ever heard of a channel called Video Game Donkey?
Yeah, I have heard of Video Game Donkey.
Okay.
Like I know his videos do very well on YouTube.
Yeah. One of his videos is on a game called Rust. And it's kind of funny because at the very end of the video, literally in the very final frame, he sneaks in a wiener, and it's just funny because like that's obviously not allowed on the site, but every single one of his millions of fans have collectively agreed not to report it because it's just kind of funny to actually see a wiener on YouTube once in a rare while. Wait, so what? It's just still there, like 10 years later.
But like, yeah. Aren't there people not in his fan base who like sneak in and like, even though they're not his fans, like they'll still watch his stuff out of curiosity. I'm sure they would report it.
All right. I'm looking
you think
up the
so, but I think everyone, I think it's so funny that everyone, you just collectively agreed that it's just something they want to,
yeah, some,
they want to preserve.
Sometimes you'll catch stuff like that on non-English videos where they're speaking a different language and nobody's ever caught that they snuck nudity or whatever into the video.
Oh yeah, there was like a huge like surgence of porn on YouTube in 2021 where people were getting away with just uploading full like just porn scenes, and in the thumbnails as well they would just put straight up genitalia, and it was nuts.
Not that apparent,
intended.
What I'm saying is just like, it's just like in the middle of the video you just suddenly see, whoop, that flashed right in my face. But it's because the I think like the AI just was it was just not being detected by the algorithm because it wasn't in English. I think I was watching a video that was like in Filipino, so it just flew under the radar.
Oh well, that's yeah, not good. Wait, okay, I'm feeling a little odd because like I shouted out like me being on this podcast to the BFDI channel, so I just want to make sure like that the right audience is hearing it.
Uh-oh. Like, I didn't realize you put it on that channel too.
I did kind of like in the background thinking it wasn't going to be that big of a deal, but I think it's okay. I think
we can censor it in post too.
Yeah.
Cause
this is normal. This is normally what we talk about on the podcast, but I do realize that your BDFI fandom is full of a lot of kids, as I can see in the voice chat.
Well, yeah, I'm just putting a warning that it's like slightly not. Like, there's slightly more touchy topics with, like, light swearing, so it's like...
Yeah.
Like, fair enough.
Yeah, I know that your podcast has kind of, like, always been this way, but I just want to make sure that, you know, like,
yeah,
the audience doesn't feel too overwhelmed by it.
Wait, can we still say poop?
You can still say poop.
Gary, I'll go ahead and give you something. I'll have the editors put this in the beginning.
Okay, let's start kind of getting into more of, like, Carrie's background, because I don't think there's too many videos out there where Carrie kind of talks about his sort of creator journey. So if you want to kind of tell a little bit about your sort of the history of you becoming a content creator, feel free to do so.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I think, like, what do I usually tell people? I usually say that like the origin story is that I got really into Rube Goldberg machines, you know, like all the dominoes and marble races and that stuff. And I think that was around like fourth or fifth grade. And we would film, I would like build them in my living room. And then Michael and I would film, well, Michael's my twin brother. We would film them and not really have anywhere to upload them. But then like YouTube came around and it was sort of, actually, I don't really remember that long ago because like I was 10. So I actually can't picture in my head like what it was like to create a YouTube channel. But yeah, I think the Rube Goldberg machines were first. And then I guess the animations came second. Because we were really into this like web show called Homestar Runner. Actually, more my brother than me. And you can see a lot of like style similarities between like the backgrounds in Homestar Runner and the backgrounds of BFDI.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead. By the way, I love Rube Goldberg machines. I wish there were more of them. I understand that the nature of a Rube Goldberg machine means that they're very time consuming to put together.
Yeah.
That's why there aren't more of them. But I find the concept fascinating.
I think the first time I saw a Rube Goldberg machine was in the movie Pee-wee's Big Adventure, where in the beginning of the movie where, you know, he's like getting up from bed and he's like he has like a Rube Goldberg machine that like makes him breakfast and stuff. And I always thought that was really cool. Or no, actually the Goonies, there was like this complicated Rube Goldberg machine that unlocked like the front gate of their house in the beginning. And I always thought that was cool too.
Oh yeah, I think also like Home Alone.
Yeah, Home Alone.
What's his name? Macaulay Culkin built a lot of like Rube Goldberg machines to like kind of
make booby traps,
physically damage or hurt the intruders.
Yeah.
But yeah, like they took a long time to build. But the worst part is like if the Rube Goldberg machine failed on the second to last step, you kind of have to set up everything again.
Yeah.
So it's like if you were to graph like the number of steps in a Rube Goldberg machine and the amount of time it takes to get the right cut, it's sort of like an exponential curve. Because like every new thing you add, like has a percentage of failure that could like double mm-hmm. the number of attempts.
Well, I mean, I feel like you're kind of describing why people like Dark Souls. I mean, it comes with a territory, you know. It's like it's a very difficult thing that takes a lot of work, and eventually you succeed. And it's very impressive at that point.
It does tie into something I wanted to bring up earlier when you were talking about speed cubing. I think that's also the appeal of speed running in video games. It's just like doing all these very elaborate steps to finish the game as possible, and there's a very high margin of failure. Like if you mess up at a certain point, you have to start all over again. Because I was thinking like speed cubing and like competitive eating and like cup stacking were kind of like precursors to video game speed runs in a way.
Yeah, that's true, and I'm kind of surprised that like speedrunning took until
Dragon fruit.
Wait, okay.
Oh no!
Oh wait, they can't hear me.
There
oh,
it is.
When you can speak. Uh-huh. Oh.
Oh hi.
Wait, I don't think they can hear me right now. So you can. Wait, can you guys hear me now?
Yeah, we can.
Oh. Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay, now they can hear you, but you can't hear them unless.
Yeah, I can't hear them.
No, I can't.
Unless
I can
you
want to
share
them.
Headphones.
I guess getting high scores in video games was the thing.
Oh my god,
that I wasn't thinking of. Thanks, okay. Meester.
Hi, Carrie's person. Hi.
Oh, hi. I'm Catherine.
This is super haphazard, but yeah, this is Catherine, my friend from college.
Hello, Catherine.
This is okay. Bye. You can't see a visual right now, but like. I'm wearing headphones, and that's the only place the audio is coming out. So we're kind of like we have our heads smushed together,
yeah.
Like, using the
turn
same
on
headphones.
The
oh, we can't. Can I turn on the? Are
yeah,
you okay with that?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, let's see. How do we do this? Well, okay. Everyone's gonna be like,
gonna,
"Wow!"
Ooh! Oh my gosh!
Oh,
this is like
because you only got one headphone.
Yeah, so such a nice visual. Like,
I
this should be
it.
Your new profile picture.
This should be the thumbnail.
Yeah, the
Take
thumbnail.
Take a screenshot.
Take a screenshot because it's going to go away in 3 seconds.
All right, make a thumbnail face.
2, 1.
Goodbye.
Bye. Okay.
Did you tell them that you're in your new office?
Took like 3 screenshots.
Yeah.
Wow, all right. we gotta title this video our special guest, Catherine. That's it.
Oh yeah. I have no idea what's
the first
going
podcast
on.
With Catherine.
We're interviewing Carrie for a podcast.
Yeah. I mean, TJ, so like, I feel like this is like super like spontaneous. So like, it's definitely a pivot to the conversation. But
right, you got to plug in your Mac, honey.
Oh my God, it's running out of battery. Okay, I guess I'll take
Please plug in your, yeah, plug it in.
I got the cable right here.
Oh,
okay. We'll be fine. Don't worry.
Thank you, Catherine. Thank you. Catherine is the savior of this podcast.
Yeah, Catherine just saved everyone's butts. That was great.
I know, yeah.
Good job.
Wait, Catherine can't hear you now, though. But yeah. this is like, we're clearly, like, bodging everything together right now.
Just oh, yeah, this is a super podcast. Casual
you're
process. Yeah.
You don't have it. So
you guys are good. Yeah. Also, the editors know what to include and what not to include, so don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Okay, awesome.
Yeah,
we got this. Okay, so just to kind of rerail things, though.
Yeah.
TJ, you want to kind of segue back into the topic here?
Oh, I mean, we were just talking about the appeal of doing something like a Rube Goldberg machine. And I was comparing it to speedrunning, basically.
Let me plug it over there.
Well, I think that's kind of the idea, is that that's why I was saying it's kind of like playing Dark Souls.
Yeah.
Where it's like a monumental achievement just to make any actual significant progress at all. And it makes you feel good.
Yeah.
Like it's,
and I guess like if you're like speedrunning Dark Souls and you do mess up, like you fall into like a bottomless pit or something, sometimes it's worth it to just power through because like your run is already like that much better, and it's like restarting over and over means you might just never finish. So it's like you're constantly weighing whether it's worth a reset or whether it's worth it to just power through.
Are we talking about sex?
Yeah, exactly.
Dark Souls?
Wow.
We're talking about Dark Souls, dude.
Oh, okay.
Well, technically we're talking about Rube Goldberg machines.
I thought,
yep.
I mean, I got confused when we were talking about Dark Souls and powering through because I always get fucked at Dark Souls, so I understand.
Anyway.
I went ahead and muted him. Be a little less spicy, Tristan. Remember.
Oh, I was just saying Dark Souls is difficult. That's it.
It is. It is a very difficult game.
That's what I was trying to say. I always just get fucked at Dark Souls.
You said it again.
Carrie, have you played? Carrie.
Yeah. What's
have you
up?
Played? Have you played Elden Ring?
I have not, but I know it's in the similar kind of vein of like games that are designed to be hard and frustrate people.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like the games I played were like indie games, but a lot of indie games are also like, what do you call them? Not like rage bait, but like Super Meat Boy or yeah. like.
Oh, you like difficult platformers.
Yeah, or actually, okay, you know Newgrounds?
Yes, I've seen that you've been involved with Newgrounds a bit.
Yeah, that's where I like got started in terms of like gaining an internet following. I feel like from like 2007 to like 2011 or so, like I feel like every game I played was just through Newgrounds. So mm-hmm. it's a lot of indie games. It's a lot of like games that are like not fully developed or not like polished, but you know they're really really difficult.
Go ahead.
I'm just saying, like we've interviewed a few game developers that were that got their start off of Newgrounds before on this podcast. Like we recently had one of the creators of Friday Night Funkin' on a few weeks ago.
Yeah,
Ninja so. Muffin 99.
Yep.
I'm getting spammed friend requests.
And I am aware. I am aware there's a BDFI FNF crossover mod. I've seen it.
Yeah, actually, I'm like really blown away by how big the BFDI plus Friday Night Funkin' like community is, because like there's this channel called like Zay-Dash Animations or something, and they like upload like weekly videos about BFDI plus Friday Night Funkin', and they get like 500,000 views.
Yeah,
I'm just thinking.
Well, how Friday Night Funkin'? It's just one of those really microcosms.
Released the update to it yet, but.
Oh yeah. Oh, I guess they can hear you, but you can't hear them.
Yeah, I don't know if they were speaking.
Continue, Laura, sorry. Yeah.
Oh, no. Oh, I was just going to mention, I think Friday Night Funkin' has... It's like a combination of being very easy to mod, and also kind of like... It takes the concept of DDR and removes the one kind of awkward barrier to it, which is that you need a dance pad for DDR. But, like... They condense the gameplay down to just like keys.
Yeah.
So I think people like the concept of dancing in games and rhythm. It's just that it's like expensive to do it otherwise. And I think Friday Night Funkin' removed the barrier for that. So I think that's why it's kind of a microcosm of popularity.
I think it's because they took a little bit of sort of like making it more accessible, like other rhythm games like Parappa the Rapper, Guitaru Man, where you only just really need to press buttons and not have like a special pad to play it.
Yeah. Now that reminds me of like this one time I think I was playing like either Guitar Hero or Dance Dance Revolution. It was Dance Dance Revolution, but it was like two player. And I think my brother was doing it on the actual like pad with like his feet. And mm-hmm. I was doing it on like a GameCube controller. And I was like having so much fun because it's so much easier to hit all the arrows when you're on a controller.
Yeah.
And so I felt like I was winning, but I was just taking the easy road. And that's what like FNF has also done.
Mm-hmm.
Well, is it the easy road per se though? Because I feel like one of the things that has been a positive development in the video game industry fairly recently, like within the last 5 years in particular, is the move for accessibility in games in particular.
Yep.
And, you know, they've made a lot of efforts to make sure that the games are more available for people who have disabilities themselves, and also just for people who maybe prefer a more story-based approach or a more casual approach or something.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
I don't think that's like a lazy or an easy mode. I think that's just like a different way of presenting entertainment at that point, and it works.
Right, like if someone wants to play Dance Dance Revolution, but like they're in a wheelchair or something, then they can play that way. I was going to say, games where I think the story is the main emphasis, I think it makes a lot more sense to not make difficulty a huge aspect of it. Because like one of the games that I developed, and I think some people in the audience might know about it, it's called BFDI A5B. It's supposed to like tell more of the BFDI storyline, but it made some of the levels like so like obscenely hard that like 99.9% of my audience has never seen like level 50. And I feel like, well, that's kind of a problem because like they need to know the storyline to understand the future episodes. But then I'm like, whatever.
Yeah.
Like, someone's gonna film a walkthrough video.
It's like a difficulty wall to get to the, you know, unlock the story for the series.
Yeah, yeah. But I also figure that, yeah, like, someone else is going to, like, screen record their own playthrough. So the story will get out there.
Yeah, it'll be me. Let's go.
I do think it's interesting. Isn't there, there's this feature, which is kind of just related to this, but I don't know if you guys have ever played a game called Getting Over It.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I've played, I haven't played it, but I've watched so many, like, people trying it.
Yeah, Tristan played that on his channel, and he,
There's an interesting concept in that game, and it relies on the honor system, which is that if you make it to the top, there is a voice chat that you can join, which is exclusively
chat.
Yeah, it's for people who have beaten the game only, and it actually asks you not to record it and to just keep it for the people who have beaten it. So I think that's kind of interesting, and it obviously relies on people respecting that, and obviously not everyone does, but. I think that's kind of cool.
When I beat the game, everyone in the chat just kept telling me to KYS.
Wait, why?
Yeah.
Because they're just assholes.
Because
just played a really difficult game.
Right, yeah, but also, like, maybe they were thinking, like, yo, you're not supposed to show us the ending if we didn't beat ourselves. So,
probably.
I'm going to give you some negative feedback so you know not to do it. Except that's, like, very extreme negative feedback.
Oh, yeah.
That's like a permanent solution to a temporary problem.
I know, I know.
Exactly.
So, before we get back to letting Carrie talk about his background and his, you know, how he became the content creator he is now, I wanted to diverge a little bit because we were talking about modding games. And
hold on, TJ, just 1 second. Guys, do you mind if I got to go to the bathroom.
Oh, my God.
Not allowed.
Always do this.
Hold it.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah, Tristan, your bladder will survive the podcast.
No, it's not my bladder, dude. I got to poop.
This is not the first time he's done this.
By the way, you can go to the bathroom and TJ can still kind of ask his question and we can
That's what I was saying. I was just letting you guys know. So, like, if you don't hear me talking, I have to go poop.
Go poop.
No worries. We got this.
Okay.
We'll have one question without you. And then next question, you'll be back.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, when you go poop,
poop fast.
This is the question that you almost stole for me. So when you go poop, I know that you're not going to steal it this time.
He's gone.
Okay. So I was going to mention that somebody took your avatar character, like the stick figure guy from your AI videos, and they made it into a Mugen character. I just wanted to get your thoughts on that.
Oh, I don't really know much about Mugen, but I think I saw the video like of the like fight sequence.
Yeah,
and I think that's good, right? It's like, well, whenever anyone like draws my own like characters or like original creations in a different environment, I always say like go for it because, like, I don't know, the more creative collaborations, the better.
Yeah, Mugen's a pretty crazy game. I mean, in terms of like legendary indie games that have come out on the internet, like Mugen is a very like FNF, a very moddable, customizable game where it's, you know, Street Fighter-esque, and then you can just put any character you want in the game, and the amount of kinds of characters that people put in it are insane.
Just for context, just to give the audience something here, because I hate when podcasts don't do this. Mugen, or however you want to pronounce it, is a completely modular fighting game in the style of Street Fighter, but you can make your own characters for it for whoever you want. And a lot of people, you know, do the obvious ones like making Homer Simpson or, you know, making Pickle Rick or Mario or Smash Brothers Mario or whoever you want. But also there's a lot of really dedicated fans who will make really not obscure, but really niche characters like Carrie will just show up in Mugen at one point. So it's kind of like this big community effort in which people make whatever they want. And it's never really achieved mainstream popularity, but it's very dedicated. And although I don't really play it myself, I think it's very impressive what people do with it.
Yeah, I mean, I think it like kind of lines up with like the open source movement.
Well,
all right.
Well, I mean, I don't think there's not really much else we can talk about it. Like, we can get back to Carrie's backstory. I know that you touched on when you first started BFDI. I think I said BDFI before, and it's like, oh, that's not right.
That's okay.
If you want to talk about like the inspiration for it, like how it got started.
Okay, yeah, yeah. I mean, I think I've the BFDI origin story, I feel like I tell a slightly different version each time. But the one that I think goes the most far back is like in third grade, I was playing rock, paper, scissors with my friends, and I thought it was really stupid that paper kills rock. Because like you can understand like rock killing scissors because it's going to break, mm-hmm. and scissors cutting paper. But paper cutting rock, that doesn't make sense. So I was like, what three objects do kill each other in a cyclical manner? Well, like water extinguishes fire. And I think like that already is like, oh, that's interesting. And a fire can burn a sponge, and then sponge can absorb water. And those were the first three characters of BFDI. Oh, nope. It actually, I screamed, but it didn't pick it up because Discord didn't think that was worth it.
It'll appear in your local recording probably, so.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
Oh, that.
Oh, I just heard that.
I don't know if it's going through. But yeah, like those are the first three characters. And then like I had a Woody and Match because like there has to be more victims for Fiery to attack.
Yeah.
And those are the first five. And I think, so, yeah.
Your thought process reminds me because you kind of made this in sort of around like 2010-ish, and I would have been in beginning of high school. That reminds me when I was going to high school, a lot of people were really into extreme rock, paper, scissors, and that's just what it's making me think of.
Oh yeah, I remember like my friend Jacob wanted me to learn RPS 101.
Yeah.
Like that's rock, paper, scissors, but with 101 possible options to play.
Mm-hmm.
And like
so Pokemon, yeah.
Kind of like Pokemon, but you have to memorize what beats what instead of it just telling you.
Yeah, they had like a whole poster, like, because I was like a band kid and they put up a poster of like all of the options for extreme rock, paper, scissors in one of the rooms where they just add a bunch of different extra hand gestures and things like, oh, one of them is like Spock and like gun, nuke, and then it was just this complicated rule set of like what defeats what.
Yeah, but like they try to do this thing where like every option you can take can only kill 50% of the other ones. Like they don't want any option to be any more powerful than the others. So even if you have like a stupidly powerful one like gun or like nuclear bomb, it still loses to like half of the other gestures.
Yeah.
Which is like doesn't make sense.
So
but yeah, I didn't realize like extreme RPS like was sort of a trend. Like, do kids these days not try to extend rock, paper, scissors?
I don't know. Cause you know, I haven't been in school for a while, so I don't know what the Zoomers are up to. Or
I don't know.
Not even Zoomers, Generation Alpha is like the new thing or whatever.
People in the chat, do you still play Extreme Rock, Paper, Scissors with like 50 options?
I see. Yes, no, yes, no, yes, no. I think it still happens.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of people actually responding. At discord.t1podcast.com if you want to tune in these episodes live. It looks like it's kind of 50-50.
Yeah, I think 50-50 makes sense. Wait, okay. I'm just muting myself. I think, yeah.
Oh, there goes Carrie. All right, thanks guys for given all these answers, by the way.
Yeah, there was like
it really helps the statistics.
Yeah, there was like sort of like the variants of RPS, and then I think there was like a ninja game that I remember, and then also I guess the game was like a thing I remember.
Oh, by the way, guys, if you're stuck playing the game, I have a little bit of a cheat code for you. Okay,
I'm back,
and I'm gonna put this. Hey Gary, I'm gonna put this in the chat. By the way, if you're someone who's been playing the game where you lose when you think about it, here's a little cheat code for you.
Yeah,
it's from XKCD. It's a pass to win the game. Congratulations, you are free. You never have to worry about it again.
Well, like, all right. Who decides that has the power? Like, is it just Randall Monroe says it? So that's just the way it is.
Yeah, no one does. That's the thing. It's a community game, so we make up the rules as we go. It's like Calvin Ball from Calvin and Hobbes.
Well, then I say that like when you're in my vicinity, that pass never works.
I found the poster
with the normal rules
of the.
That's a good thing. This is an online podcast. Then
there's the poster that was in the room.
Nice.
Yeah, but there's like you said, RPS 101. That looks like it has even more options than this. So It's like a giant circle of hundreds of options. Like, that's super complicated.
If they're not careful, there's going to be a Dexit at some point, and they're going to have to get rid of a bunch of the Pokemon.
Yeah. So
they should keep it.
Wait, what channel did you post the image in?
It's like the stage channel.
We're in the recording stage. If you click on the recording stage there's a whole text chat that's been going this entire time, bud.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Well, I see the text chat, but I don't see the image of the RPS.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
guys, no one chat for a second.
The chat's go. This is RPS 101, right? But the one I remember was it didn't have 101 options. It was just this one that I'm about to post. Hang on a second. Right, this one.
Yeah, guys, chill in the chat for a second. Let Gary take a look.
Yeah.
There's
like gun, dynamite, alien, nuke, man, woman.
Yeah, I think that was like similar to the one that I did with my friends. But like, you know, everyone keeps having to level up each other. So like, you just had to go to 101 eventually. That's just the way it was.
Yeah, just keep escalating in your rock, paper, scissors arms race.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I think the funny thing is like, okay, so taking it back to BFDI for a bit, like rock, paper, scissors, I wanted to make my own version, right? So fire, sponge, teardrop. But the show now does have Rocky, and you know, our colleague Adam Katz, his show in Anime City has paper, and then our friend Anthony Coase has scissors. So it's like all those original pieces made it back into the shows eventually.
Yeah. So like
Tristan has made it back.
Has he?
Don't go in there.
Tristan, how was your experience? Rate it 1 to 5.
I clogged the toilet.
Uh-oh.
Oh yeah. When are you gonna add a poopy to BFDI?
Oh, Poo is in one of my other shows, which is it's called ABCDEFG, but it's like a battle between gemstones.
Yeah.
And then the joke is one of the characters is just Poo, which is not a gemstone. And like he's competing against like Amethyst, Sapphire, Ruby, and then there's Poo.
Well, I just fought Poo and I lost because the toilet was clogged.
Yeah. Oh no, Poo is too powerful. Oh my god.
Tristan, just to catch you up on what happened while you were having your IBS issues is...
Oh, fuck off.
we talked about Mugen, and then we talked about the origin of Battle for Dream Island, TJ, his animation, and then we talked about...
Matter. I'm not going to remember anyways. I'll just listen.
Oh yeah,
to
you have
episode.
Dementia, right? Okay.
Right.
We were talking about rock, paper, scissors.
Yeah, my favorite game.
I got a question for you, by the way.
Oh yeah,
Harry.
Fire
and
away.
And this is. I know that this is going to be kind of an obvious question, but I feel like people are kind of curious.
Yeah.
Which is that? What do you think it is that actually gravitates people towards better? I'm sorry, BFDI.
What gravitates them? I don't know. They are all just crazy people. No, I'm just kidding. I think it's like there's something like fun about, okay, well, one aspect is the competition, like the challenges and the elimination. And I think that like people are starting to realize that humans love elimination orders. Like if you think about all the popular shows shows recently, like Hunger Games, Squid Games.
Yeah.
What other ones? Like
it's been around for a while, like with Survivor.
Yeah, Survivor and like Total Drama Island and Amazing Race.
When you first made the show, were you inspired by like Survivor or Total Drama Island?
Oh, well, I mean, Total Drama Island is like the biggest inspiration for BFDI. Like, I feel like if you watch Total Drama and then you watch BFDI, I think you'll realize that like it's really just like a fan edit, or not a fan edit, but like my attempt at creating my own Total Drama is BFDI.
They're actually rebooting Total Drama Island as well.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, actually. I know they're rebooting it, and I think the coolest thing is that like some of the people who helped me make BFDI are also now animators at Teletoon, like making the actual Total Drama show. So I feel like the fandom has like brought about real animators who are getting real jobs now.
Yeah, it's
that's awesome.
It's what am I thinking of? It's like I'm blanking out. It's just kind of weirdly serendipitous how
thank you
It just kind of was inspired by Total Drama Island and the people that worked on it ended up working on the show.
Maybe
I don't know what word to describe it as, but that's basically what I'm thinking of. But
Someone's just leaving the office right now. Bye, Ben. Bye-bye.
But yeah, I haven't seen the entirety of your series because there is a lot. But I did.
What do you mean you haven't watched 18 hours of animation back to back?
I think it's like 10 years of content. But I did watch of the first season, and I am impressed that you were doing that at like you were like 12 at the time.
Oh yeah, well, I guess like Michael and I started like a couple months before our 13th birthday.
Yeah.
Changed the voice actor for Chris in Total Drama due to like his voice actor having abuse allegations.
Yeah. I heard about
Christian
that.
Potenza.
That sucks.
Fun fact, Christian Potenza recorded the very first line of Inanimate Insanity, which is like the second biggest object show.
Yep.
Wow. You know, how hard is it to just not abuse people? Like,
I know, right?
Just don't.
Maybe people should just
hit people.
Yeah, you don't. It's not a requirement as a YouTuber. You don't have to do that when you sign up. You can just be a nice guy who, interacts with people that are also legal. And if you just like,
if you play Minecraft, it's not a requirement to groom children. Stop.
I know, right? Just play Minecraft.
We're talking about voice acting, though. But that happens in that. It happens in every industry.
That happens in that industry too. Yeah.
Very disappointing. Yeah.
Like James Franco used to be my favorite. Now he's
Who?
James Franco was one of my favorite actors.
Yeah, he has allegations now.
Well, that's more like Hollywood acting though.
Acting is that's acting.
That happens there too.
Yeah. Well, mainstream Hollywood like kind of frightens me. Like it feels like not like clout chasing, but like I don't know. Like there's just so much insidious stuff happening behind the scenes in Hollywood. Like even if you think back to like the 1930s with like Judy Garland, it's like wow, this has been going on for like longer than a human lifetime.
It has, and it's also an international problem. I've heard that in certain areas, like Korea, for example, it's like rife with that, and they actually have a problem with like people game ending themselves before 30 when they get into the industry because it's just so rough.
Yeah, that sounds awful. And I know that like with Korea also, they like the K-pop world. Well, one thing is that I did K-pop dancing in college, so like I feel like I can talk a little bit. Well, not really. Like K-pop stars are like they practice like 12 hours a day, and it's like these really intensive like dance routines, and then like they die of exhaustion. Like they literally, like some of them like literally pass away. It's like horrifying.
Yeah, it's a problem.
Note to self: and K-pop sucks.
Well,
the industry.
The industry has problems.
I'll admit it. I'll give the audience a bone. I have heard BTS. They're not terrible. They have some bops.
The music is
I meant what they're putting them through. K-pop music itself is entertaining.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that their song Butter. Mm-hmm. It's pretty good.
Oh yeah.
I don't know if you guys ever heard of that one.
What was I gonna say? My brother's really into BTS, and also like I danced to some of this. Okay, I already talked about the college thing, so I don't need to mention it again. But yeah, I would agree that like the industry has problems, but like I think BTS is cool. I also know that if you say BTS is not cool, like you will have 1,000 people on Twitter tearing you down. So
BTS is cool. I promise. I honestly feel.
I love Jungkook, RM, V, Jimin, Jin, and Suga.
I was gonna say
you
don't stand Jungkook and Jimin.
Well, Jungkook is younger than me. That's the scariest thing. Is like, oh, did you hear? Okay, this is a side tangent, but did you hear that rumor that Princess Diana reincarnated as Jungkook because she passed away like one day before he was born.
That's weird. That's like the people that like claim Avril Lavigne died in 2003 and they replaced her with a clone.
Oh, wait, that's just like the Paul McCartney thing all over again.
Yeah, Paul is dead too, where it's like, oh, he died and they just Avril's put a doppelganger in the Beatles and it's not the real Paul McCartney.
Well, maybe I'm dead and I even have a twin, so like there's even more legitimacy to that rumor.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's interesting to think about, Michael.
Uh-oh. I better not respond to that because I'm not actually Michael.
So Carrie is actually just How to Basic.
Oh my god.
Nice.
Confirmed.
It's me, you guys. I've been smashing these eggs this whole time.
Well, you heard it here first.
Carrie, can you come over and smash my eggs, please?
Yeah, I'll totally smash your eggs. Bam, there's, bam.
There's the cold open.
That sounded so suggestive.
Okay, so that does segue into continuing.
Well,
on
no,
with,
your chicken eggs, not like human. Yeah, chicken eggs.
Please don't step on my balls.
That does segue into continuing on about BFDI, and I just wanted to kind of ask, like, what's kind of your role in that show versus like what your brother does, and then like sort of like how that developed, and like who you have helping you now.
Yeah, so
it just started up.
It's changed.
Originally, it's just you and your brother, and then that just kind of grew over time.
Yeah, I mean, it's changed so much over the years because, like, back in the.
Hello?
Oh, am I borked again?
Dragon fruit!
What the heck?
I thought I cut out for a second.
Why is this happening?
Okay. It's fine. Thanks for tuning in, guys, while we're waiting. It looks like Carrie's attempting to mute and unmute himself a couple times.
Hello?
I'm sorry, Michael is attempting to to fix
Hello?
His muting.
Wait, Michael?
Hello?
I do have, no, like, Michael, one more question after this that's related to him, and then we can do, like,
can you hear me
Q&A
now?
Stuff.
I don't...
Okay.
Actually,
yeah. By the way, guys, if you're listening in on the audience,
never
and you do have
questions.
A question.
Hello, 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 hello. Ah, hello, 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 hello.
Hello.
I'm saying hello, 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 hello,
hello, hello, hello.
You're back.
Hello, hello, hello.
Hey, can you hear us?
I've been able to hear you the whole time, but you still can't hear me.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Discord randomly has issues like this. It's not. Perfect. It just is what it is.
What's so weird because,
like,
I am in an office. Oh, I guess this isn't publicly known. Well, I'm in an office right now, and the Wi-Fi is, like, really good. Like, I tested it, and so I don't understand why it's dropping. Like, whatever.
Yeah,
I'm back now.
Discord has random issues. It's like it's if people have XLR mics in particular, that causes a lot of problems. I've noticed. It's just it is what it is. You know.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, while I'm back, can ask a question and I'll answer before it cuts out again.
Okay.
Okay. I was.
Okay. First of all, Carrie, I'm confused because you mentioned that it's not public information that you have good Wi-Fi. Why are you worried about that getting out?
Oh, no. I it's not public information that I have an office now. Like,
oh, okay.
Like, this is the first time that, like, working on BFDI, I have, like, a physical location for it.
Mm.
Oh, okay.
I mean, that
well,
doesn't.
I mean,
yeah.
If you're a YouTuber, I just assume you either have a home office or somewhere that you go.
Right.
So that's
yeah.
probably.
Well, also, like, that's like a super tame thing.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, like, there's nothing incriminating about having an office. It's not like people are going to start spreading on Twitter, like, hashtag Carrie has an office. Like, hashtag Carrie is over.
Every office ever. We'll find him.
Oh, my God. Oh, that's right. Now they can hunt down where I am.
All
right.
Here's his location. He's stationed in a Walmart bathroom.
Okay.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, no. Well, there's so many Walmarts, though. You, like, if someone wants to hunt me down, like, you still have so many options.
Scavenger hunt. Let's go.
Yeah.
I guess we'll
meanwhile,
just...
like,
yeah.
What if Michael's in, like, a Walmart bathroom right now? He's like, what the heck, guys?
And he's like, screw you. Like,
all right. So,
dragon fruit.
Yes, go ahead. I'm going to...
Shut up, Tristan.
No. Like, I think Carrie dropped.
Wait, did I?
Oh, no.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
I'm not trying to be like a dick. Like, relax, TJ.
Okay.
I wonder, okay, how can I fix this? So you
all
can't
right.
hear me
well,
anymore.
We'll go ahead and start to wrap things up pretty quick, by the
Ooh.
Way, because it seems like the issues on Gary's end are compounding. Sorry, TJ. It's one of those days.
I mean,
test.
We got a lot of content out of this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hello. No, it's been an hour so far. We've got, like, a good base for the podcast already.
What do you come back? I'll switch to a different question.
Well, yeah, don't worry about all the interruptions. By the way, the editors will pare it down a little bit, and they'll keep parts of it that are funny.
Yep,
and it'll be fine.
Carrie just keeps getting banned to the Shadow Realm.
Oh wait, I heard something.
Oh,
is he back?
Oh, I hope so.
Welcome back.
Oh my God, I'm really sorry this is happening. Like,
okay,
Harry, you're fine. I apologize that it's happening to you.
I mean, I could try switching to my desktop computer. But, like, I know that the podcast is almost over, though, so I don't know if it's
yeah.
worth it.
All right.
Let's
I'll do the quick fire questions for me.
Okay, quick
in a
fire.
couple couple of years, by the way, if you want to do a redemption episode, you're more than welcome to. But for now, I think TJ just has a couple lightning round questions.
Okay.
All right. So
that's good.
I was doing research on you, right? And I was reading through your Wikitubia, and I saw in the trivia that you have an asteroid that was named after you.
Oh, right. Carrie Huang 10003. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a Wikipedia listing on it, too. I was like, what the hell? How did that happen? Yeah.
Well, I guess it's like it doesn't take that much effort, or like it's not that hard to get an asteroid named after you. Like, you just have to have, like, there's like the International Astronomy Union. I don't know what it's called, but it's like IAU. And if someone on that board is a fan of you, then like, I guess they'll just name the next asteroid after you. Because like 10 new asteroids, or like probably like 100 new asteroids get discovered like every month, right?
Mm-hmm.
So like, I guess what's kind of interesting though is that it's the one that got named after me is number 10,003, which means it's like the 10,003rd asteroid to get known. And it's so close to a round number. So like,
yeah, I guess... I think they were a fan of your Scale of the Universe sort of projects. Because I noticed you were the originator of that, so.
Yeah, well, I'm really grateful. I guess I've never really talked about it, like, publicly, but whoever is on that board that named after me, like, I feel like I'm really blessed to have an asteroid named after me. I think if space travel ever becomes cheaper, I will fly there and I will plant my flag. I know it's only, like, 3 kilometers across, but I'll still visit.
Okay.
Oh, can I come?
No! Yeah.
To the asteroid.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
You have to... What do you have to do to get... Okay, I have to figure out, like, since I own this asteroid, the admittance fee is $10,000, and...
Nice.
Wait, hold on. What if I made you spaghetti?
Then I'll eat it, and if it tastes good, you can be on the asteroid. If it tastes bad, well, then you go to the black hole instead.
You ever have, like, an existential crisis?
I could do that.
Where, like, if you ever have an existential crisis thinking, like, what if the asteroid that was named after me, what if that's the asteroid that ends humanity? That's the one that crashes into Earth?
Oh, no.
What the hell,
it's my asteroid.
Well, technically, like, I think that the orbit of this asteroid is, like, very well known.
Yeah.
So, like, it's not going to cross Earth's orbit anytime soon. But, I don't know. Like, I'm not too scared about asteroids hitting Earth.
Yeah.
Like,
it's like it happens right now, and that's what's causing his internet to flare up.
I know, yeah. Like, I don't know. The asteroids, like, radiation is, like, pulverizing my Wi-Fi.
Tristan, did you have... Because I feel bad that, like, you had questions stacked up, and it's like you didn't get to ask.
I did, but it's okay. The episode's it's wrapping up.
Oh,
it is what it is. By the way, Carrie, I went ahead and just made a temporary channel for people to post their live questions, and I'm going to just ask a couple, like, the what I think are the best ones.
I'll make sure to read their names just because fan recognition.
I guess, Q&A time.
Normally,
normally
we'd have them come on live, but just because of the size of the audience this time, I'm probably going to avoid that.
Yeah, apologies for, like, posting on the main channel and, like, not letting you know, like...
Gary, it's fine. We appreciate the boost. Don't worry about it.
I think it's funny.
You're really good.
We hit over 3,000 members.
Yeah.
It happens anytime Senior Palo comes on or Ninja Muffin, where just like a flood of their young audience comes in.
Oh, yeah. Well, Ninja Muffin is like, I'm sure Ninja Muffin is like, got a bigger audience than me because, like, Friday Night Funkin' is like the biggest game ever. So you're used to it. You can handle it. LOL.
Yeah.
We're good to go. And I'm going to ask that if you can try to answer these fairly briefly so we can get to a couple decent ones.
Okay.
First one I'm going to shout out here is by someone named Game Genie. And they ask, Carrie, what are your music tastes, such as genres and some favorite bands?
Oh, interesting. I feel like I listen to a lot of, like, soundtrack music because it helps me stay motivated. Like, Hans Zimmer's Time or, like, Interstellar soundtrack.
Oh,
that's my answer.
Yeah, I love movie soundtracks. And then let's see. A lot of people are asking questions, by the way, so I'm just kind of combing through them. By the way, TJ and Tristan, you're welcome to pull them from this if you would like as well.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Let's see.
We got a question from Zoni Zensenez. Are you slightly stupid, Carrie?
Oh, I'm extremely stupid. So the answer is like double yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Thanks for being honest. We appreciate it. You guys heard it here first.
I think that's a band, isn't that?
What,
is it slightly stupid, like a reggae band or something?
Oh, questions.
There's a shitload of questions, guys. Holy shit.
Yeah, thanks at discord.t1podcast.com for tossing these to us. I'm just kind of combing through them, seeing if any of them really pop out.
Wait, Meester, I'm 26 years old. I said that last year I was 25.
You can also pick a question, yeah, too, guys, if you want, Carrie.
Someone asked, you said you were 25, and then you said you were 26. Is the passage of time is a thing. I hope that you would understand that.
Birthdays do exist. I'm sorry, guys. It's just the sad truth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we all get old.
Yeah, he's not 12 years old anymore, like at the beginning of his channel.
I know. I don't have that prepubescent voice anymore.
TMOJ Official asks, out of all the KH jokes that you've come up with, which one was your favorite?
Oh, I think I feel like Carrie Kill is the best one.
Mm-hmm. What about kissing though?
Oh, I'm just not ready for himself. That. We're not at that stage. Actually, I shouldn't even like joke that I'm in. We're not at that stage yet.
How about killing Harambe?
No!
Oh, no, no. Oh, my God. I can't be the Harambe killer.
TJ, stop insinuating our guest abuses animals. What the hell?
Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm going to butcher this. I think it's Doyle Ashley 2003 asks, if you make a plush with a voice box, which character would it be?
I like the idea of the announcer plush with a voice box, because the announcer is a character that, like, hosts the show, and he has a lot of like classic lines like, oh, budget cuts, like that's why he always cancels things, is because of budget cuts. So that would be the audio,
I guess. That ties into another question that I saw by Josh, where they asked Carrie, which character do you think is the most similar to yourself?
Oh, similar to me.
Yeah, great question.
I guess this is within the BFDI show. I think, like, I've often said Tennis Ball, just because Tennis Ball's voice is the closest to me, but also because he's, like, a nerd, and I am, too.
Okay.
So I'll say Tennis Ball.
Thank you guys for all the questions that keep pouring in. Let's see. Have you ever thought of getting a job? I'm not going to shout out the name. I will just point out that Carrie is a YouTuber.
Yeah.
So what do you think he's doing?
Well, I was going to say, like, and this is kind of advice to younger people as well. I feel like I wish I had gotten, a summer job when I was in high school. I feel like, you know, even though YouTube has been making me money since I was like 13, I think being like a teenager and like doing work with like other teenagers is like a good way to like build work ethic and like,
yeah,
camaraderie. So like, yeah, I would say if you're that age, like, I don't know, volunteer somewhere.
Don't work at Safeway, for the love of God. Don't work at Safeway.
Or maybe not Safeway.
I will point out that I think that it also helps with empathy. I feel like a lot of people in life, especially like the Karens of the world, could probably stand to work, you know, at least a couple months in retail. Like it helps you understand a lot of like situations and how to be polite to human beings and how to communicate to them without being like a shithead. So,
yeah,
you know what I mean?
I agree. It's good to realize that like even other retail employees are human.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, they're also not just robots that I can abuse?
Also, to anyone who really wanted to ask Carrie a question, it's kind of hard to go through all of these. There's 200 plus of you, and you know this is like an hour and a half podcast, so
yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, it is what it is.
Sorry guys, but we appreciate you all tuning in and being so supportive of Carrie and his podcast appearance. It's very, very cool.
Yeah, by the way, if you guys have a question that you really want answered, go into that channel for live questions and put a reaction to it, and I'll probably try to pull the best one. Because we have time, I think, for one last question, and then we gotta go.
Mm-hmm. Okay, awesome. Yeah. Ooh, last question.
Last question.
Make it good, guys.
I wasn't able to touch on every topic.
Are you Christmas?
Am I Christmas? Well, I'm not even Christian, so I think the answer is no to that.
Yeah, I wasn't able to touch on every topic, but I guess it's better to be over prepared than under prepared for an episode.
Oh yeah, I guess like maybe you were hoping we could talk more about like the AI stuff. So maybe if we do a round two,
Because I was kind of interested because you are both in the coding and animation realms, and nowadays I kind of see like how those two fields are kind of clashing. Where
I know,
and I thought it would be interesting to get your perspective on it because you're kind of in both of those worlds where you're both an animator and a coder.
Yeah. Well, I mean, okay, I don't want to go too long over, but I think this is a very interesting topic because like I see a lot of. Well, I guess first off is like, you know, I understand all the concerns that artists have about AI, but I also think that like when I was doing these AI projects in like 2017, like a computer evolves to generate Baroque music or jazz music.
Yeah.
There wasn't any discussion that that was like unethical in any way. And I feel like I almost lucked out that I did these projects before kind of the scrutiny kind of built up. And I think now in like the day and age of 2023, I would not do those things again.
Yeah.
Well, I guess it's okay with Baroque because like Mozart and Bach are like in the Creative Commons.
And they've been dead for hundreds of years. So
Yeah. But I did do like AI rap, and that's like with the rap artists who are still alive. So that's a little more like touchy these days.
Yeah, because when you I saw those videos a few years ago, and that was kind of more when that sort of stuff was a little bit more primitive. But now that I think people are talking about the ethics and morality of it now because it's gotten so good. That now they're worried about it to where.
Yeah, because like if you use AI to create like the crappiest rap ever, like no rap artist is going to feel threatened by that.
But when it sounds exactly like them and it's some, you might not be able to tell the difference. That's when the problem comes in.
Yeah, exactly. And then like one other element to this discussion is that like I've been seeing a ton of AI covers of like songs with my voice on YouTube or like characters that I voice.
Yeah,
I actually think those are funny. I mean, I know other people will have like different opinions, but like there's one of like me singing like the Boy's a Liar song, you know.
I've seen it a lot with VTubers like Gwargura, the shark girl, and also Jay Schlatt, the YouTuber. There's actually a future guest we're trying to get on named Booty Swagger that's been playing around with doing that with his own voice. And I'd like to get that in a discussion with that with him eventually. So,
yeah.
I think
if you do it with your own voice, it's totally fine.
Yeah, because you're consenting to yourself doing it instead of stealing somebody's voice without their permission.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe I'll do that if I don't want to voice act on my show anymore. I'll just use an AI on my own voice.
AI-generated BFDI that just goes on forever.
Oh, yeah, I know people are already doing that with like Seinfeld and
SpongeBob.
South Park
family. Yeah, I saw the South Park thing recently and that's been causing a stir, but I did look into it and it kind of looks like it might be fake though, like the South Park one.
Oh yeah, actually that's one of my pet peeves is like when people say that like, oh, this is an AI generated movie script, and then like it's clear the movie script was like written by a human to sound like a dumb AI to be funny.
Yeah, because like all of the information about the company that was working on the South Park project seems like it's fake, and there's like a sort of like an ARG going on, so people are thinking that Trey Parker and Matt Stone are like doing this elaborate hoax to as like a publicity stunt.
Oh, but like people think that it actually is Trey and Matt like behind the scenes.
Yeah, because they did do a whole episode that was written by ChatGPT recently.
Well, I saw the South Park episode where like they talk about ChatGPT, but I didn't know that they did one where it was actually written with ChatGPT.
It's the same episode. A lot of it, I think it was Matt kind of co-writing with ChatGPT to write the episode.
Oh, that's interesting. I have not done that with any of my videos yet, but I have seen those like other people in the community being like, I'm going to try to create an object show episode using ChatGPT and... So far, they've been pretty bad, which is a good thing for the community. But it's also been like funny to see kind of how it fails.
Yeah, they do end up being pretty funny with how chaotic and glitchy they end up being.
I actually kind of find the opposite, like that they get too like formulaic. Like,
yeah,
like you need to like have a human introduce a completely original concept if you want an episode to stand out.
Yeah, because a human can throw in an element of chaos because then the computer just starts developing a pattern and just, you know, because like the SpongeBob one, people will just throw in like these prompts to throw everything off. So
yeah,
I want to
Lars?
Post something in the recording chat real quick, and I'm gonna turn off messages just for a second so people can see it. I think it kind of summarizes my feelings about AI and about new tech in general. And I'm stalling because it's taking me a second to set this up.
Yeah, it's pretty relevant right now because of the whole, you know, writers actor strike going on with Hollywood, because you know, one of the terms that they're trying to negotiate is dealing with using AI in productions.
Oh yeah, I know that. Like, yeah, the writers and now the actors are going on strike, and like I'm in SoCal, so I've been seeing some of it on the streets.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's something by the famous XKCD, which is the simple answers to the questions that get asked about every new technology. Will blank make us all geniuses? No. Will it make us all morons? No. Will it destroy whole industries? Yes. Will it make us more empathetic? No. Will it make us less caring? No. Will teens use blank for sex? Yes. Were they going to have sex anyway? Yes. Will it destroy music? No. Will it destroy art? No. Can we go back to a time? No. Will it bring about world peace? No. And will it cause widespread alienation by creating a world of empty experiences? I think we were kind of already were alienated to some degree.
Yeah, because like the movie industry, I mean, in this capitalist society that we live in, not to go into politics, but they've already been exploiting the actors and the writers.
I'm
going to
stop you there then, TJ. Let's not do politics.
Yeah. No, that was all I was going to say. That's all I was going
to
say.
It's time to wrap it up.
I'm just saying. Like,
no more saying.
No, I'm just
no
saying.
No more Super Saiyan.
Hold
more
on.
Super Saiyan.
No, just the concern is just they're just using these new tools to exploit people. That's all I'm saying.
I know.
That is even further.
I'm just messing with you, dude.
So this thing from XKCD, though, that's like something that's just like true about all technologies, or like,
well, yeah, you can use anything to exploit a person. It's not mutual to just AI. I mean, you see it with like people in power. They can use any profession to just mess with people.
Well, that's why we need.
Yeah, this has been a thing since like the monarchy days. With like the serfs.
We need universal basic income to like things like that.
Yeah.
Well, don't they say that, like, oh, like, with so much automated and, like, so much software and, like, technology and robots to make our lives easier, like, why do we still have to work 40-hour work weeks? Like, theoretically, like, we should be able to cut down on a workload 2-3-4-fold from, like, the 1900s.
I think over the reason why a lot of these people in these industries are starting to strike is because of the consequences that we're seeing from automation in this kind of post-industrial society, where capitalism is reaching a point where we're gonna need to start adopting things, because now we're just exploiting people to the point where they're not going to be able to make a living wage.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind if we all had UBI and then we all just like let AI do, or like robots do all the rote work.
Yeah.
And like, because improving technology should be a good thing for like lightening the load off of humans, and the fact that like the opposite seems to be happening.
Yeah, because they want to replace all of the fun stuff with AI and then make people do all the menial work.
Oh yeah, like the last thing people expected was that for like painting and writing to be replaced by AI. Like, we were promised that would be the thing that humans would get to do when AI freed us.
Yeah,
but that did not happen.
Yeah. Just,
also,
I don't really want to end the episode on a sour kind of like a downer kind of note. You know, it's a bit bleak. Harry. Bleak.
Harry, what's your favorite kind of food?
Favorite kind of food? I had a poke bowl for lunch today, and it was really good.
I had a poke bowl recently too. Those are good.
Harry, do you like pasta?
I like pasta. I know Canada they say pasta.
Pasta. That sounds like someone from the tri-state area. Pasta.
Yeah, maybe from the tri-state area as well, but I say pasta, like a normal person.
Yeah.
Or like they're from Boston, they can eat some pasta.
All right, guys in the chat, while we wrap this up, post what your favorite food is, please.
Yep.
And I think that's going to go ahead and do it. Pizza. I feel like this went by extremely fast, by the way. And I feel like we barely even scratched the surface.
There's so much to talk about. But
yeah.
Oh, I know, yeah. There is.
It is what it is.
Yeah.
You know.
I had a really fun time, and yeah, I feel like, yeah, since this is like, oh my god, 2 hours have passed, it's like, I could keep talking forever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
that's
I mean,
the joys of being
you know
a content creator. I mean, when you're doing what you love, it does fly by really fast.
I think your fans will appreciate that, like, now there is, like, sort of like a 2-hour podcast where they can kind of get to know you a lot better as a person.
Yeah, that's true. I guess during the times when my Wi-Fi didn't cut, which it hasn't for like the last 20 minutes. So like, yay.
Yeah, it's been working.
Yay. But yeah, fans, this is the real Carrie. Mask off. This is like,
yeah, the real Carrie, aka Michael.
No, you can't keep saying that. They're going to believe it soon.
We got How to Basic on the podcast finally.
I know. I've been looking to get him on for a while.
The secrets cannot get out.
You're the one that said you want to come over and crack my eggs.
Well,
I said crack? I forget even what the context was.
Oh, you want to smash my eggs?
Oh, is that
How to Basic?
Is that your next BFDI character? Is crack? Or
no, definitely not.
TJ, stop monetization. Okay. Fucking hell.
Well, there is a character on the show called Eggy, but there is no character called crack.
Weed.
No, there is not. We have Leafy, but Leafy is just a leaf.
Yeah. TJ, we get it. You're a drug addict.
You're the one that always brings up meth in every episode.
You're the one that always says the Breaking Bad address.
Oh my god.
All right.
TJ, what's the Breaking Bad address? Say the line.
I'm not Bart Simpson.
Bart, say the line.
No.
Go ahead, Carrie.
Oh, I don't know the Breaking Bad address. So for me, it would be the first time I hear it.
All right.
Yeah, you should say it.
All right, 308 Negro Arroyo Lane. Are you happy?
Yes.
Yeah, you said the line.
Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Thanks, Bart.
Whoa.
Thanks, Bart.
Bart!
Carrie, yeah. First of all, I just wanted to say thank you very much for being such a good sport for all this. I really appreciate you taking your time, especially after all these years, to actually sit down and do this with us.
Well, I mean, yeah, thank you for having me. And like, I know you keep saying like, oh, it's been 2 years, that's so long. But like, really, I didn't like, that's not that much time. And also, it didn't hurt for me to wait the 2 years. It's like, I knew it was going to happen eventually, and it happened. So all's well at the end.
Yeah, man, it was nice meeting you. You were fun to talk to, and I really liked your energy for the episode. Great job.
I had a great time talking to you. So it was it was worth the wait.
Thank you to everyone who tuned in, and sorry we couldn't get to 99.9% of your questions. It's just how it goes.
Yeah, that's just how it goes. Thank you for putting up with all the technical difficulties too.
Oh, it happens, man.
It's a podcast. It's par for the course.
Well, it is a podcast. Welcome to the podcast.
Yeah. By the way, guys, if you're tuning into this right now, either live or in the edited version, I just wanted to mention that these episodes actually will go live on YouTube later. Not live on YouTube, actually edited down. And if you would like to subscribe so that you can get notified as soon as this episode comes out, I'll go ahead and post a link in the chat.
Sorry, Discord reset on me and I was panicking.
It's youtube.com/@thefirstpodcast if you guys want to catch the edited version of this episode.
And
also, if you're an audio listener, make sure to go ahead and check us out on audio platforms such as Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and so much more.
The hell?
If you guys are also interested, Lars and I do side content on our own channel called Spaghetto currently. We're planning on revamping the name, but we do daily content where we do Let's Plays, and we've been having guests recently. If you want to check it out, feel free to.
Yeah, one of them just popped up briefly in the VC, and I was confused.
But yeah, youtube.com/spaghetto for audio listeners, and thank you all for joining us today. And thank you, Carrie, again. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And one last...
Oh, yeah?
Go ahead.
I wasn't going to say anything new. I was just going to tell the listeners that they'd better subscribe to the first podcast, or I will never upload another video again.
Oh, shit.
Let's hold them hostage.
Spaghetto, right?
Yeah, hold them hostage. Yeah. I'm sure they'll love that. They'll be like, I'm subscribing.
If you want the URL to the first podcast, it's youtube.com/@CarrieKH. The KH stands for Kingdom Hearts.
Yeah.
So go ahead and check us out.
He's like the biggest Kingdom Hearts YouTuber, and he'll give you all the updates for Kingdom Hearts 4. He has all the leaks.
Every video is about Kingdom Hearts.
Last but not least, if you've been listening to the podcast for a while and you want to help support us in a way that gets you a ton of bonus content at this point, we have a Patreon over at patreon.com/T1podcast. And that'll get you bonus episodes of the show, up to 25 now at this point, early listening privileges, a patron-only role, and a funny chat that is exclusive to the patrons. Ooh. Just head on over there. Every dollar helps, and the tiers start at $2, and we really appreciate it. So yeah, thanks a lot.
Basically, you guys get to flex on everyone else who's not a patron in the Discord server.
Yeah, to any kids listening to this, so just take your mom's credit card and just...
Nope.
No, TJ, okay, now that TJ's been muted. That. TJ,
thank you, editors, for cutting that.
Become a patron either way.
So as we're closing, Carrie, could you give us 10 wise words of wisdom?
10 words of wisdom? Shoot, I have to count my fingers. I don't know. Making content on the internet is very fun. So yay. Two words at the end is very awkward because I can't add an and something something.
You heard it first here, folks. This was the first podcast, signing off, signing out, and signing back in.
Bye, everyone.
So you better have a better
that's all, folks.
A better record for Speedcube next time we talk to you.
Better record for Speedcube. I'm not beating the 6.2. Like, I've already accepted that that's my like lifetime record.
Yeah, do the blindfolded run.
You could do better.
All right.
Hey guys, Kerry here. I have a confession to make. The rumors are true. I am actually Michael. There is no Kerry. Pee pee poo poo.
What the hell? No, Discord, no! What are you doing, Discord, no! Ah! Discord, no! Why did you reset? Oh my god!